Please turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Book of Matthew, chapter 1. I'm going to speak to you in a textual fashion today, and we will begin by reading into this passage in just a few moments. So, Matthew, chapter 1. I would say that most of us realize that God has used numerous ways to reveal Himself and to reveal His will. Most important, as we begin to think about things along this line, we should recognize that if God did not reveal Himself, then we wouldn't know anything about Him. If He didn't reveal His truth, then we wouldn't know the truth. I'm glad that God has revealed Himself. There are two aspects of revelation. There is what's called general revelation, and that is in a general sense, and that is through the creation. You can look out, you can look at the stars, and you can look at the plants and the animals and the human creature, and you can see things about God, and you can learn about God through general revelation. But then there is what's called special revelation. And that, my friends, concerns itself with the written Word of God. I've asked you to turn in your Bibles. We believe that the Bible is God's Word. God revealed Himself, revealed His truth through the Word of God. And we believe then, since it is God's Word, that it is true. And if that be the case, that God's Word is true, then we are responsible to respond to that truth, aren't we? And so we have the Bible today, we have the truth of the Word of God, and we need to respond to that. Take heed. So as we look into the Word today, just don't look at it as, well, we're just reading from Shakespeare or some other writer. This is the Word of God. Now, in our verses today, we're going to find a man who received God's Word, and in simple summation of what we're going to look at, he simply obeyed what he received. That's the idea. And so as you come to the house of God and you hear the Word of God preached, as you read the Scripture in your own time, hear what God has to say, accept what God has to say, and respond to it. And we're going to find this example before us today. I want to speak to you what I've entitled, When God Speaks, We Should Listen. And so it's much more than E.F. Hutton, right? So, when God speaks, we should listen. Let's pray. Again, Father, we come before You, thanking You for the privilege of being in Your house. Thank You for each one that is here. No one is here by accident. And we ask that You would just speak to our hearts and draw us unto You. And we pray that You would just open up Your Word to us, that we might be encouraged, and that we might study, and that we might look into Your Word to know what You have for us, to learn about You, to learn about the truth, so that we might live well for Your name's sake, that we would honor You. And we do ask, if there's anyone here today who is not saved, that You would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant unto them repentance and faith, that they would be saved even today. Help them to hear the truth and respond well. Lord, we thank You for all that You've done. We thank You for what You're going to do. You deserve the honor and the glory, and we're here to do just that, to praise Your name. And so we pray that it would be to that end. Just forgive us for our sin and where we fall short. And Lord, just direct our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about when God speaks, we should listen. And I'm going to use a fellow that we've heard a lot about, but we usually don't pay a whole lot of attention to. And we think of the fellow by the name of Joseph. You remember Joseph and Mary? And everybody says a lot about Mary and talks about Mary, which is okay, nothing wrong with that. But we often overlook Joseph and his portion in the events of Scripture. And so we're going to look at Joseph as we concern ourselves with the matter of the revelation of God and how we ought to listen to what God has for us. And so the first thing I would like for us to do is to take a brief analysis of the verses that I have listed that's on the outline in the bulletin. But also here, we want to look into the text and notice as we go through these verses. First of all, verse 18, Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Notice, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What do you find in the story here? You find the introduction of Mary and Joseph and how that Mary was espoused to Joseph. She was betrothed to him. And that's kind of like an engagement in our day and time, but it's much more than that. It's a very strong commitment to marriage. And all that remains is the wedding feast and then the consummation of the marriage. And so what's really taking place from our perspective, from our view, is that Mary is betrothed to Joseph. And during that time of betrothal, she comes up pregnant. Now, of course, Joseph's upset about that, if any man would be. And his thought in his mind is, she's done committed adultery against me, and she's with child by another man. And so, but Joseph was a guy that he was a righteous individual. He was a man who loved Mary, didn't want to make a public example out of her, as the scripture says. As a matter of fact, according to the laws of Moses, she'd be guilty of adultery and could actually be taken out and stoned because of her transgression. Well, he didn't want any of that to come about, and so he was just going to put her away privately. He was going to divorce her in a discreet manner. But as he was thinking about how to approach it and how to deal with it, the angel of the Lord appears to him. So look at verse 20 once again. God comes to him in the night, comes to him in a dream. The angel of the Lord appears to him and speaks to him while he's dreaming, and he says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is not some transgression that she made. She had not committed adultery against you, but this is something that is very special. And he's commanded of God to take her, to go ahead and receive her as a wife. Do not divorce her, but to go ahead and marry her. And then he instructs him that when she has that child, to call his name Jesus. So, you know what he did? He had this dream. He's thinking about putting her away. And he decides now after this dream, God has spoken to me. Therefore, I'm not going to divorce her. I'm going to take her to my wife. And he believed that God had something to do with this. He didn't believe that it was some Roman soldier out there at random or any other kind of individual, which some of the skeptics like to state. He believed that she was a child of the Holy Ghost. And proof of that is a little bit further, is after Jesus was born, he named the child Jesus. Well, he could have named him anything. Could have named him Joseph after himself, but he didn't. He named him exactly what the angel told him to name. And so Jesus was born, and then he named him Jesus. By the way, the name Jesus means Savior. Savior. It's Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Savior of the world. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you may not believe in who He is and what He has done. I want you to know that Jesus is the Savior. He is your only way for forgiveness of sin. And but what happens here in the text? Well, Mary has her part, of course, but what about Joseph? Joseph is going to put her away, decides not to because the angel speaks to him in a dream. Go a little bit further. Go into chapter 2 of the book of Matthew. Look at verse 15, or 13 through verse 15, rather. And this is following the time where Jesus was born, of course, and over a period of time, the wise men come to see Jesus, and they bring him gifts and so forth. And this is where the story picks up, verse 13. And when they were departed, the wise men are gone. Behold, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. This is chapter 2, verse 13. And he says, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. We find here in this text a protection of the child, to the sense that, remember, the wise men came to Herod and asked and inquired of where this king was. And Herod was very much interested in that because now this is going to be a rival king. And when the wise men left, the angel of the Lord comes, speaks to him in a dream. Get the child up, leave, go to Egypt. Why? Herod's going to seek to destroy him, and he did. You know the scriptures. When he found out the wise men went back another way, he sent down to Bethlehem and killed every child from 2 years age and under, trying to get this child of Jesus. Well, because Joseph had listened to God and responded to the Lord, Jesus was not there. So the passage that we have before us in these simple verses is that he had direction to leave, and he had a destination that was given to him. He just couldn't wander around and go anywhere he chose. God told him where to go. And he went to Egypt, and he understood the purpose of it, even with the statement of the reference to Scripture, that out of Egypt his son should be called. And so when you think about these things, in chapter 1 we saw where God came to Joseph and told him to go ahead and take his wife, don't divorce her, and he obeyed. And then he comes to him in a dream and says, go to Egypt, and he obeys. It's a good thing, isn't it? Now look into verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the child's life. And it says here, and he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Time to return. He was told to leave. He did. Went to Egypt. God came to him in a dream, told him to go back. Why? Herod was dead. And so he received a confirmation of peace. You don't have to worry about it. You can return. You can go back. And so God said, go back. And he does. That's the good thing about it. He obeys. He listens. Verse 23 says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. And so he responded, didn't he? Took him up and went home. So it's a time to return. But then notice verse 22 and again verse 23. There was courage to serve. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. And so, you know what? He was afraid, but he still went. He dwelled in Nazareth because that's where God told him to go. The location for him to reside was given unto him in a dream. And so you find these events. Oh, we talk about Mary, but what about Joseph? Over and over and over again, God comes to him and speaks to him and gives him a word. And he responds to that. And because of that, these events unfold exactly as the Scriptures portray them. And we have the truth of the Word of God to respond to. But think of these events as we found here, and now let's consider a few things about Joseph in the dreams. Now, first of all, before I delve into this, I'm going to invite you to look at a few places. One is the book of Numbers, chapter 12. I believe it's necessary to point out to you and to remind you that God could and did speak to men through dreams. Now, we're privileged in our day and time. We're going to address this a little bit later on as well. But we're privileged to have the Word of God. We have the revelation of God. That hadn't always been the case. Before Moses was on the scene, they did not have written revelation. Moses was the first to write. They possibly might have had Job. It depends where you stick that in the time frame of things. But generally concerned, the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the writings of Moses, the law, is considered the first scripture. And before that, what did they have? They didn't have anything. And then the scripture's progressive, written over a 1,000-year period by over 40 different authors that God inspired to write. Well, even in the New Testament scriptures, did they have in the New Testament, when we read about Mary and Joseph responding to the dream, did they have the scriptures? All they had was Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have New Testament. God spoke through dreams. I've asked you to turn to Numbers chapter 12. Look at verse 6. And we're not looking at every verse that we could think of in regard to the dreams. But notice what he says here.
God speaks and he says, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." I mentioned Job just a moment ago. Turn over to the book of Job and look at chapter 33. Job 33. Elihu, a very wise young man, began to speak and is addressing the truth toward his three friends, Job's three friends. And in the midst of this discussion, he says something about how God works. Notice Job 33, what he says in verse 14. "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man." Has God used dreams to reveal truth? Yes, he has. Has he used dreams and visions to reveal the future and the truth and about all things in concern to himself? Yes, he has. You remember back, and we don't have time to turn over there, but the book of Genesis, remember Joseph was in prison? And while he was down in the prison house, the butler and the baker had their dreams, and God used Joseph to interpret those dreams. It was a foretelling of the future. And then the Pharaoh had his dream, and Joseph spoke to him and gave him God's interpretation of what that dream meant, and they knew what was going to take place, and so they were adequately able to prepare. Turn, if you will, to the other example that I would like to give, and that's the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel was a man used of God that could greatly understand dreams and visions. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and the thing had gone from him. And notice in Daniel chapter 2, we pick it up in verse 17. Because the wise men of Babylon couldn't give the dream and couldn't give an interpretation of it, the king became very upset and was going to destroy all the wise men. And Daniel intercedes, and it says in verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." He said, "Now wait a minute, give us a chance, we'll tell you what it is." So he comes home, tells his three friends, you might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, here they are, and he tells them, and he says in verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then it says in verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and might are his." Skip down to verse 27. Daniel comes into the king and he tells him about the dream and what he had dreamed and forgotten. Daniel answered in the verse 27. "Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy vision of thy head upon thy bed are these." And then he goes on and speaks about them. Go back to the text and keep this thing in mind, that God has spoken through dreams, can speak through dreams and visions. God is allowed to do that, and God has done that. And he still may yet do that today. But as Job has expressed, or Elihu did in the book of Job, well, we just don't really pick up on it. Now, don't get all excited. Don't get up and stomp out and say, man, the guy's preaching visions and dreams. Stay with me. We're only just part of the way through this. We went through one point. We just hang in there. And you'll get the idea. But what does our text say? Joseph was spoken to in a dream. So if you're going to deny that, you're going to say, well, that didn't happen to Joseph. It did happen to Joseph. So that was true, wasn't it? Now, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph, and there are some things I want you to consider. Number one, he was sensitive to God's word. Now, you can only be sensitive to God's word if it's really God's word. It's not like a false prophet. I mean, there are false prophets who make up all kinds of things. They dream things because they had too much pizza the night before, and they say, well, this and that, and this is what I've seen. And they have all these kind of things, and they say, well, this is what God said. And God didn't say that. You can only be sensitive to God's word if it really is God's word. But he was sensitive. The angel of God comes to him, and he knew that. Had Joseph dreamed other dreams? I'm sure that he did. Most people dream. Scripture says that dreams come from a multitude of business. And so we can dream many dreams, and some of them we remember, and some of them we don't. Most of them we don't. Did Joseph dream? Absolutely. But boy, these were different, weren't they? Can people have false dreams? Listen, if you will, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture from Jeremiah chapter 23. Listen, if you will, verse 25, it says this. And this is God's rebuke of the false teachers. He says, I have heard what the prophets say that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff of the wheat, saith the Lord? In other words, just because some people are false doesn't mean you turn off the good. You still have to listen to the truth. So true prophets are going to prophesy, although there are going to be false prophets out there. In verse 29 it says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, that saith the Lord, against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, am I against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Were there false prophets back in the days of Moses and the Old Testament scriptures? Yeah, but they stood up all the time and said, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. They were wrong. They didn't have the truth. Zechariah makes this statement in chapter 10, verse 2, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. You can only respond to the truth when you hear the truth. Joseph heard the truth in a dream. And the thing is with Joseph, out of all the dreams that Joseph ever had, he understood that these dreams were unique. This is different than anything that he ever heard before, anything he'd ever seen, anything he'd ever dreamed. This is God speaking to me. And so when he was thinking about divorcing her, God says, don't do it. This child is from me. He doesn't do it. He listens, doesn't he? He is sensitive to God's word. What we find in this is that he hears the word and he remembers, doesn't he? He reacts to it. Sensitivity. You know, the scripture says in the New Testament that some people look into the word of God like some people look into a looking glass or a mirror, and they turn away and forget what manner of man they were. And that's a woe to us. That's a mistake if we look into the Word of God and see what kind of person we are and understand. And God speaks to our heart, and then as soon as we walk out the door, we forget. That's a mistake. And so we want to remember. We want to be sensitive to God's Word. Secondly, when I think about Joseph and the dreams that he had, he believed God's Word. Angels appeared unto him, spoke to him. We looked at those four events there in the passage, and he believed it, didn't he? Now, why did he believe it? I believe and accept that he believed it because he trusted the author. That is, who was making these statements? He believed that God was talking to him. And he accepted the medium. He heard it through a dream and he accepted that. Did they have dreams back then? Yes, they did. And he accepted that. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, I just dreamt it and that God doesn't do that, so I'm not going to worry about that. So Joseph was sensitive to God's word. He believed God's word, and so he trusted. He believed it because he trusted the author. He accepted the medium, and he understood the message. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was not supposed to divorce Mary. He was to take the child to Egypt. He was to come back. He was to go to Nazareth. And so he did what he's supposed to do. He understood the message, and he believed that message to be true. 1 John 5:10 says this, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. You know what that means? That means here today, if you're not saved, you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've not been born again, You have, in your own way, said God is a liar. So, well, I didn't say that. But the Scripture says you do not believe the record that God has given of His Son. You don't accept it. You haven't responded to it. You don't believe it. And in doing so, you've called God a liar. You say, well, I just don't know that the Bible's true. Then you're calling God a liar. You see? I didn't say that. The Scripture said that. So you have to understand what it has to say to us. We need to be sensitive to God's Word. Joseph was. We need to believe God's Word. Joseph did. And because he heard the Word, he understood, and he believed it, you know what he did? He obeyed it. And that's a grand thing. He believed and he opted to follow after God. Now, Jesus said he did always those things which pleased the Father. Wouldn't that be our heartbeat? Oh, we desire to do that. We don't always do that. We fail because we're still in the flesh. But as a child of God, it should be our desire to always do those things which please the Father. To honor Him in our lives. Joseph could have made other decisions, couldn't he? He could have had that dream, got up and said, you know, Mary, I had the strangest dream last night. I was thinking about divorcing you, and this angel comes to me and speaks to me and says that I shouldn't, that you are a child by the Holy Ghost, and you know what? That's the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard, so forget that. I'm going to see a lawyer today. He could have done that, couldn't he? But he didn't. He heard. He could have lingered around when he was warned of God to take the child to Egypt and say, well, you know, it's just too expensive. Gas is $5 a gallon, and I just can't keep the camel going, and there's so many problems as we go along the way, so I'm not going to go. But he didn't. He listened. He could have denied it. He could have contradicted it. He could have just not believed it. He could have thought he just had a little bit too much extra spice on that leg of lamb. I don't know. But he didn't. He believed. He could have ignored it. I'm just not going to listen to that. He could have partially believed it. Only did part of the thing. Go to Egypt. Well, I don't feel like going to Egypt. I'll go to Moab. I'll go to Syria. Would that have been appropriate? Well, it would have saved Jesus' life because he wouldn't have been in the area, but it sure wouldn't have fulfilled the Scriptures. You see, when he heard and he believed, he obeyed. And what happens when we obey? Isn't God's Word fulfilled? Wasn't God's Word fulfilled when he obeyed the Scripture? In the first example we had, verse 22, verse 23 of chapter 1, he listened, and of course he didn't put Jesus away and all that. They named him Jesus. Doesn't that fulfill Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? It does. It's a fulfillment of the Scripture. In the portion where that he was to go into Egypt, chapter 2, verse 15, said, out of Egypt have I called my son. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. That's fulfillment of Scripture. Now, the tough one is the statement where it says he shall be called a Nazarene. And it's tough because you won't find an exact scriptural text reference for that. But one of the commentators, and I believe he's right on the head, so I'm going to share with you what he had to say, said that this is a reference out of Isaiah chapter 11 and in verse 1 where the Scripture says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, the Jews understood that to be a prophecy of the Messiah. And so they understood the Messiah as being the branch. Well, the word Nazareth comes from the Hebrew word netzer. And the word netzer in the Hebrew means branch. And so they called Nazareth Nazareth because of the type of trees that they had in that locality there. And so that place was really called the branches, you know, the Nazareth. And so when Jesus was commanded, or Joseph was commanded to take Jesus and his family to Nazareth, fulfills the prophecy out of Isaiah 11, says he'll be the branch shall come out because he will be called a Nazarene. And it comes from the Hebrew netzer. Now you say, well, I don't like that explanation. Well, you don't have to like it. You can ignore that if you wish. But one thing I am absolutely confident of, when God says that this is what it does, then that's what it does. I believe the Word of God to be true. And I believe if you obey God's Word, you fulfill God's plan for that Word. You say, well, I don't really understand. You're talking about Joseph, and you speak about four events where the angels came to him and told him what to do, and he responded, and you give me these ideas that he's sensitive to the Word of God, and he believed the Word of God, and he obeyed God's Word, and so he fulfilled God's Word. What in the world does that have to do with me? Well, I believe it has everything to do with you. Because today, we have the Word of God, don't we? We have the Scripture. You have an opportunity to have one right in your hand. You can read it. It's translated into the English language. What a privilege that is. It is a great privilege, because to tell you the truth, I don't know a whole lot about the Hebrew, and I don't know a whole lot about the Greek. I can do some reading in it, and I can do some translating in it, but if I had just had to read the Greek and the Hebrew, I'd be at a great loss, wouldn't you? Aren't you glad that God has directed, and I believe divinely directed, that we can have the Word of God written in the English language, and we can believe it and trust it? I'm glad I have the Bible, and I can read it. What a thrill. And so what I want to do is go back and just take those 4 points that I mentioned about Joseph and make that applicable to you and to me. The idea is we want to hear the Word of God and listen to it. When God speaks, let's obey. And so number one, let's think about the matter of being sensitive. We need to be sensitive. Now I want to be very careful here, because I mentioned I'm going to say something to you about dreams in just a moment. I said that a few moments ago. Well, I'm still going to say it, but this isn't the moment. So hang with me. I'll catch you in the conclusion on that. However, can God still speak to dreams in dreams? I believe He can. Does God work in providence? I believe God works a great work of His work through providence, how He directs in our lives. And sometimes God will demonstrate things and reveals His will to us through the providence of which He allows us to go through. You have to have enough sensitivity to understand that that's God speaking to you. Knowing, I'm not talking about the divine revelation in the sense of people speaking and giving prophecies. But God can direct and God can lead. And so, boyfriend, you asked that girl out 15 times. She said no every time. You ought to get the providence. You know what? Hang it up. This is not for you. Well, I'm just being a little bit foolish about that, but you have to keep in mind, God does work. And I believe that God can speak to us in dreams, not to give us revelation where we can stand up and have something extra from the Scripture. But He can teach us things. And we can learn. I'll tell you, some of the best sermons I've ever preached, I've preached in dreams. And I'd wake up and I'd think in the middle of that dream, I think, boy, that's a great message. I'm going to have to remember this. And every time I get up in the morning, I can't remember. That's why I don't preach great sermons, because I can't remember what I dream. But the truth is, you know, God can teach through dreams, can't He? He can show you things in dreams if you'll just pay attention. And if you pick up on it, you'll save a lot of heartache. Well, anyway, what you have to do is you have to discern between God's Word and the normal dreams or false dreams. In other words, if God really is directing through providence, if God is directing through some sort of lesson that you can learn in a dream, then you have to be able to discern that. But don't go carried away on that. I'm not trying to advocate that point at all. Again, I'll mention that in just a second. And you'll understand very clearly, I trust. But what you need to do, and when I'm saying unto you, be sensitive, recognize that the Word is from God. That's what you need to understand. You need to recognize this book is from God. This is not just like any other book in the world. This is God's Word. Do you recognize that? Do you accept that? And of course, it doesn't do any good unless you recall what God has said. What good would it have done if Joseph had those dreams, got the message that God wanted him to have, and then got up in the morning and forgot everything he had ever dreamed? Would he have taken married his wife? Would he have taken the child to Egypt? Would he have returned from Egypt? What would have happened if he'd have heard the dream go down to Egypt and then never heard the dream to come back? Well, he'd have stayed in Egypt, wouldn't he? And so what we have to do is we have to recall God's Word. You have the Word of God. You have the opportunity to hear it preach. You have the opportunity to study it and hear it in the Sunday school. And you can read it on your own. And you can listen on the radio waves and watch it on TV and hear it all preached and expounded. You know what? You still have to remember it. Just because we have an exposure to it, if we don't remember it, it's not going to do us any good. Recall what God has said. And so be sensitive to it. Number two, we need to believe. You need to trust God who has revealed His Word. Be cautious about the dreams and be cautious about the visions. But we have the Word of God. And you need to trust God that He has revealed His Word. And you need to accept the medium, that is the Bible. I've met a few people down through my ministerial life where that, you know, they believe that God's spoken to them in dreams. I mean, we're talking real visions here. God shows up in a room. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I'm not going to sit in judgment on that, but I'll tell you one thing. I have the Word of God. And if anybody ever stands up to me and says, well, you know what, I've had this dream or I had this vision, and they tell me something that's contrary to the Word of God, I can tell you who's right. They aren't. God is. God's not going to give you some dream that contradicts His Word. You know, these people stand up, and you see it all the time on TV, on the news, about somebody goes out and kills their five kids, dunks them in a river or whatever, and they say, well, God told me to do it. I don't believe that for a second. And yet they believe that they had this vision, you know, that people think they're Jesus and all kinds of stuff. Well, I accept the medium. I accept the Word of God. I believe the Bible is for us, and we have His revelation. That's what we need. We have general revelation. We have specific revelation. And you just need to believe it. Now, if you're going to believe it, you're going to need to read and understand the message. Get into the book. Love the Word of God. Read what it has to say. If you've never read it through, start reading it. Get an idea, get a concept of what God has given to you. And if it is God's Word, and I believe it is, then you ought to believe it. If God says it, then that does settle it. So we ought to be sensitive to the Word, we ought to believe the Word, and then we ought to obey the Word. Really, it just simply boils down to this. We need to know it, we need to believe it, and we need to respond to it. And I know that's not always the easiest thing to do. I don't like it sometimes myself. Well, you know, I don't like what that has to say. But the truth is, I need to respond to it. Because God's right, I'm wrong. God's Word is true. Any dream I have may not be what God has to say. And so I have to be very careful. I want to obey God's Word. Not, you know what I believe? I believe that every person who's truly born again, every true Christian, has within them a real desire to follow after God. Now, we may not always do that, and we'll backslide and all that. But you know what? The Holy Spirit dwells in our heart, and He resides in us. And I know that Holy Spirit always wants to do right. And we can find that indication, because when we start to do wrong, He's always telling us, oh, that's wrong, y'all not do that, y'all not say that, y'all not go there, and He convicts us, doesn't He? And I believe that He wants us to respond to the truth. We won't be perfect at it, and we'll fail. But that Spirit of God that dwells in our hearts, there's something there that says, this is the way the Lord walk in it. And we might struggle with it, but it's there. That's the Holy Spirit abiding in our life, directing us. We need to be sensitive to the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to obey the Word of God. And then I believe if that be the case, then God's will be done, won't it? Because our obedience will accomplish His purposes. I do believe that. If I do what God says for me to do, then if I am obedient to that, then His purpose will be fulfilled every time. Because God is a great God. He keeps His Word. And the result of our obedience could be, oh, so many ways. We could receive blessings. We could receive protection or direction or instruction or provision. We might receive preparation for future events. We don't know what happens down the road, but God certainly knows that. We could receive strength and courage through the promises we find in the Scripture. We might have increased trust in God. How are we going to get all that? We're going to get it by saying, hey, this is God's Word, and I know it's God's Word, so I'm going to believe it, I'm going to accept it, I'm going to read it, I'm going to understand it, and I'm going to adopt it in my life so I can be obedient to that, and I know that the Word of God will always bear fruit, so therefore, if I do this, God will bless me. And He will do that very thing. Doesn't the Scripture say in Isaiah 55, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The Word of God is effectual. The Word of God is powerful. And I encourage you, dear Christian friend, to love the book. Read your Bible. Hear it taught, hear it preached, get into it, understand it, and apply it to your life as God gives you the grace to apply it to your life. Listen to God. So here we are, we're at the conclusion. I've given you some thoughts of the Scripture. We've made some considerations about Joseph and what he experienced, and I tried to make an application to make it very practical. In conclusion, here we are, here's the moment that I mentioned four or five times that we're going to have a moment of. I am not advocating that we become dream fanatics. I believe we have the completed Word of God, and that very rare is the case that God is going to move explicitly in a dream to reveal His will. You have to remember, when all those dreams took place through the Old Testament, New Testament, they didn't have the completed Scripture. We have the completed Scripture. What else do I need? Now, can God still direct me through dreams? Can He still direct me through providence and the things that come to me and while I'm asleep at night? He can, and He may. But I don't think you ought to focus on that. Don't walk out of here today and say, well, Brother Doug said that I got to pay attention to my dreams and write it all down. God's speaking to me. I didn't say that. He can. But you better be dead sure that it is Him, or you're going to be following some pipe dream. You don't want that. But you have the Word of God, and it's certain, and it's sure. And so, if you want to try to use dreams or visions or whatever, you just better be very, very careful about that. I caution you. Err on the side of caution. Believe the Word, though. Trust the Word. You have the book. God has provided it and preserved it for us. The main purpose that I have with this message, really, is just to demonstrate the importance of God's Word. The necessity of being sensitive to God's Word, having an awareness and an understanding, and the obligation to its obedience. Isn't that what we saw with Joseph? The guy was sensitive, he believed it, he understood it, he obeyed it, and God was happy that he did. That's what I want you to get. Not the matter of, oh, well, I'm going to go dream. I want you to get, this is God's Word, and I need to be sensitive to it, and I need to believe it, and I need to respond to it. I need to be obedient. And so I don't believe that there really is any necessity for you to seek after dreams. I believe you have enough to deal with just with the Word of God. You don't need any extra revelation, do you? You need anything extra? Have you got everything figured out and nailed down and applied in your life that you can read in this book? No, you have a lot to do. So I don't think you have to spend all your time trying to figure out something extra. And I am not advocating for you to dream and vision and all that. You have the Bible. And so the last thing I say to you is this. Perhaps maybe our response to God's Word would be more like Joseph's. Joseph was sensitive. Joseph believed it. Joseph responded to it. He was obedient. And as a result, he fulfilled God's will. May that be our heartbeat. God, help me to be sensitive. Help me to believe it. Help me to obey it so that your will be fulfilled. Would you love the Word of God today and the truth that you find there? I encourage you. Now, if you're hearing your loss, I know that's a great struggle. But you're going to have to accept the truth of the Word of God in order to understand anything about Jesus Christ. I'm saved today because of what Christ has done for me. And where I heard about all that was right in the book. I believed it to be true and just responded to God as He worked in my heart. And so, sinner today, will you believe God's Word? Will you understand you're a sinner? Will you understand that there's judgment attached to that sin? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and you can have forgiveness today. That if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. Do you believe that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that? That's what God said. Can you repent and believe today? I point you to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. And so, either way, hear the Word, believe it, respond to it. So, Christian, would you do that? Lost person, would you trust Christ today? I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? We're going to just have a moment of invitation here. And the invitation simply is this, right where you are. You don't have to walk this aisle. You don't have to raise a hand. You don't have to repeat a prayer after me. Right where you are, if you can know you're a sinner and you can recognize Jesus as the Savior, you repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you call upon Him right there, you'll be saved. And then come tell us, because with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We just want you to be obedient to God. And I encourage you to love God's Word and follow after Him and be simply that before Him. This will give a time for Christians to reflect upon that as well. Father, bless Your Word to our hearts, draw us to You, cause us to love You, cause us to love Your Word, which You've revealed to us, so that we'll know more about You and more about the truth and more what You would have us to do. And then give us the grace to fulfill it for Your name's sake and for Your honor and glory. We commit it to You today. We ask You to save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?